From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the summer movie Legally Blonde 2, actress Reese Witherspoon plays a Harvard Law School grad with a keen legal mind and a prissy pink wardrobe who takes down the male legal establishment with barely the blink of a false eyelash. In the Miss America pageant later this month, Miss Virginia Nancy Redd could easily fill those same stiletto heels. A 2003 graduate of Harvard University, a distinction she shares with Miss Rhode Island, Miss Redd was a woman's studies major and graduated with honors. Her decision to put on a swimsuit and vie for the beauty queen tiara has some cheering, others jeering, and still others wondering what a re-embrace of traditional forms of beauty and femininity says about feminism. In 1968, feminists staged a protest outside the Miss America pageant. In 2003, a women's studies major will compete in it, writes Wellesley College junior Elizabeth Nesoff in a recent opinion piece. She goes on to warn, this confused state of feminism doesn't surface only at beauty pageants. Tonight on Point, the brains and beauty queens and new generations take on feminism. Are younger American women defining feminism differently? Are women now so secure that they can be pretty in pink and fully realized achievers at the same time? Or are women backsliding here somehow? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me in the studio is Elizabeth Nesoff, a junior at Wellesley College. Her opinion piece, In Search of Feminists, appeared in a recent issue of the Christian Science Monitor newspaper. Good evening and welcome, Elizabeth Nesoff.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. So, Elizabeth, you looked out at the Harvard grads who are about to head down the catwalk in Atlantic City later this month at the Miss America contest and at Legally Blonde 2, and these images of perfectly coiffed, perfect nails, high-heeled, fairly traditional representatives of female beauty. And your response was, wait a minute, what's going on with feminism? What's it triggering in your mind, Elizabeth?
Well, basically, I think you summed it up pretty well. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, it seems to me that people are, my young feminist comrades, I guess you could say, are walking around dressed, as you said, perfectly coiffed in pink and saying, I am empowered, I am a feminist, I am perfect, everything is wonderful. And I'm looking at the world and I'm thinking, well, I turn on the radio and I see rape, sexual harassment, I see, the pay gap, and I see so many discrepancies and so many things in society that say that we're not equal, and we've made progress, definitely, but we're still not quite at that level where we are on the same field, that I don't feel that you can say the battle is over, the fight isn't won, I guess you could say.
You're fairly young yourself, so you're looking at this you must be around 20 years old, something
19.
Like that, 19. Are you looking at this through an idea of feminism that was passed down to you by someone? Someone said, Elizabeth Nesoff, here's what feminism is, and you're holding that up against what you're seeing? Or does it just offend some, innate sensibility in you of what feminism ought to mean?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think there ever was, one person or one book or one moment for me that really transformed me into a feminist, if you want to put it that way. There was never anyone saying, this is the way the world should be, it's not like that, it's not fair, and stamping their foot. It was really me looking around at the world, me going and experiencing the world through my own eyes and through my own experiences and seeing that something just wasn't right. It was just always a feeling that, I was very smart in school, let's say, but there still wasn't the equality. I still never got the respect. I was still never treated in the way that girls who maybe dressed a certain way or looked a certain way or played down their intelligence was. And I just always felt that there wasn't, that it could have been better and that it wasn't, and that still when I look at it and I see Reese Witherspoon, Entertainment Weekly, saying, oh, I really liked playing Elle Woods, her character in Legally mm-hmm. Blonde, because it was such a strong women's studies, a strong feminist role model. And then I look at the movie itself, which I've seen, and she went to Harvard Law School, and yes, she, in the second one, she storms Congress and makes all these advancements for issues involving pet pet rights, but she does them because of some sort of selfish motivation. In the first one, she wants her boyfriend back. And in the second one, she wants to have the perfect wedding. So it's not, even though maybe she is achieving something and achieving some good out of her motivation, out of her actions, but the ends don't necessarily justify the means.
So I remember in the first movie, as I recall, the Reese Witherspoon character was a finalist or a runner-up in the Miss Hawaiian Tropic pageant, and she ends up going off to Harvard Law School. Her mother tells her, law school is for people who are boring and ugly and serious. Are you saying, Elizabeth Nisshoff, that if young women embrace, all the accoutrements of beauty, that they're selling out feminism necessarily?
Because
it feels like young women are saying, we can have it both ways now. We're over the hump. We can both, have the false eyelashes and the wasp waist and feminism. Do you buy that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with wearing makeup, let's say, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good and appear a certain way. I mean, that's completely different than what I'm saying, which is you can do all those things, but you can't automatically say, oh, it's done. I'm equal. I can wear whatever I want. I can do whatever I want, because you still can't. And because, women are still very much so judged by their appearance and very much so judged by who they are. In the case of Nancy Redd, Miss Virginia, I read in a Boston Globe article that she was talking about how she was so proud that, she could go out and wear a bikini and the next one minute and then the next minute be respected as an intellectual being. But in the next paragraph, basically, it said that she had lost about 40 or 50 pounds in order to compete as Miss Virginia. And I thought, well, that basically sends the message that a woman who weighs, I think it was 150 pounds or something like that, that she weighed before she decided to compete in the competition, was not able to be thought of as attractive enough to be Miss America. So, you can have beauty and you can pursue beauty and there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good, but you can't call that feminism because it's not the same thing.
Can a feminist step onto the catwalk in Atlantic City as a Miss America contestant and remain a feminist in your mind, Elizabeth?
Well, I don't necessarily. I feel like there is a distinct contradiction in that, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you can't, because that's not my position, and I would never tell anyone what they should or shouldn't do.
Well, let's hear it directly from someone who's about to do that. Nancy Redd has kindly agreed to join us tonight from Martinsville, Virginia. She is the currently reigning Miss Virginia. She's a 2003 graduate of Harvard, majored in women's studies. She will, on September 20th, be in Atlantic City to compete for the 2004 Miss America crown. Good evening and welcome, Nancy Redd.
Good evening.
Thanks so much for being with us, Nancy.
Thanks for having me.
You know your run for Miss America has attracted all kinds of attention for a number of reasons, but prominently that you're an academic achiever, you're a women's studies major, and some people are looking at you and saying there's a built-in contradiction between going for the Miss America crown and representing women or feminism, at least as it's been understood for several decades now. What do you say to that, Nancy Redd?
I think that what's been represented for the past few decades is just one facet of what feminism really is. Elizabeth, I 100% agree with you. There's so much gender violence. There's so much discrepancy and inequality among the genders. But what I'm afraid of when I hear you speaking is that it seems like you're blaming the color pink. You're blaming Miss America. You're blaming elements of femininity. And we still have such a long way to go. And we want to bring attention to all of the issues of inequality, all of the issues of gender violence, and et cetera, in as many accessible manners as possible. And the myths that I'm trying to bust, the reason I'm in this competition, other than the fact that I wanted to, it's a really, really wonderful opportunity to promote my platform and to get really a wonderful experience right after college, is number one, women's looks do not present a zero-sum game. A lot of people think you either have to be beautiful or smart, but not both. And that's really absurd, and that frustrates me, because I heard the word can't so many times in your argument. And it frustrated me because can't comes from fear. And so many people are so afraid of women who border cross between beauty and brains, between feeling confident in what they look like and confident in their knowledge. And that means people want us to fail. And they want us to deny ourselves the right to be smart and talented and beautiful and confident of these elements of ourselves. And I'll be honest, I'm part of the following of Legally Blonde, and I was one of the cult people. I watched it, you know, once a month with my girlfriends because I was seeking a role model who represented the type of empowerment that I believe in, that makes me tingle inside and makes me challenge myself. And Elle Woods is really great, but the problem is she's fictional.
Nancy Red, you're going to be up there, I guess, tingling inside when you're competing. You just came out of a women's studies program. I wonder, what did your colleagues there make of your Miss America ambitions? Did they fit into the sense of what feminism was or what it called for of the people around you?
They're thrilled because let me explain what women's studies is. I think a lot of people have misinterpretations. An Abercrombie & Fitch advertisement misrepresented women's studies a while ago as something that is anti-men, that is anti-everything on the face of the planet except for the soul empowerment of women. That's not what it's about. Women's studies at Harvard, for example, is an interdisciplinary major, and it draws from all sorts of subjects. And my education was focused on young women's leadership, young women's development. My thesis was on the evolution of self-help for young women. And basically, I explored the hidden facets of conscious and subconscious gendered behavior. And why they're excited about my participation is because what we're doing is we're reclaiming everything that for a long time we might have had to put aside. Nowadays, we don't have to downplay our intellect or our beauty to be more acceptable. We have to be careful how we use them. We have to use them constructively. But it's important. Our beauty draws command, and our presence draws command, and our intellect draws command. And women, young and old today, we don't need to be afraid of being curious and trying to synergize all of these elements, and it's okay. And I think that if you look at Gloria Steinem, she's really such a great example of why it's okay not to have all of the answers yet and to be figuring it out and to be drawn to something. And I was drawn to Miss America, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful organization to be a part of because it reclaims a part of women's power that we've placed in a submissive role for way too long.
Nancy, is it right that you lost 40 or 50 pounds to compete in the contest?
It's certainly right, and I'm so proud of that. I used to not really want to talk about it because I was afraid. I was afraid that people might judge me. I was afraid, not just I was afraid they'd judge me for losing the weight, but I was afraid that people would think about me in a not-so-beautiful manner. But what I've realized is that sharing my weaknesses and sharing the elements. I'm 5'4", and therefore 150-something pounds on me is borderline obese. It's very unhealthy. And I was doing all these great things, and I was so proud of my accomplishments, but sometimes I wasn't as proud of what I saw on the outside because size 12s were tight, and I just wasn't healthy. And I look back at tapes when I was speaking at conferences, and I'm wondering just what was going on there.
So,
I
want to ask.
It was excellent motivation for me.
But the old idea in 68, when women protested against Miss America, was that this was the objectification of women, that it paraded American women down the catwalk in bathing suits for the whole country to ogle, and that was a kind of turning women into sex objects. How do you see that?
I think that's quite antiquated, and the irony of the situation is during the exact same time that the protesters were outside, a lot of the competitors felt that they were fighting the same battle in a different manner.
So Miss America contestants as guerrilla warriors for feminism.
Most definitely. One must realize in the 70s, there was no such real thing as financial aid. It was very hard to obtain money to go to college. And Miss America has always been the leading provider of scholarships for young women. For example, Miss America 1974.
Well, compared to what? I mean, compared to a national program of scholarships, compared to academic scholarships?
I'm not asking it to be compared. Mm-hmm. What I'm asking it to be is represented as what it is. Like I was telling you, Rebecca King in 1974, she was a pro-choice woman. She won Miss America. She spoke for the National Organization of Women. She entered solely for money to go to law school.
Nancy Red, stand by. It's fascinating to have you with us tonight. We've got to take a break in just a minute, but Elizabeth Nesoff, real quickly, your response to what you're hearing from Nancy Red. She's headed to Atlantic City. Well, is she persuading you?
Not really. I don't really have a response because I feel like a lot of what you said about what I said isn't necessarily true because I don't think that. I do agree with you. You can go, and I wish you best of luck in Atlantic City, and I hope you win. But still, it's not for me.
Not your thing. We're talking tonight with Nancy Red, Miss Virginia, headed to the Miss America contest on September 20th, and Elizabeth Nesoff, a junior at Wellesley College, who wonders about all this pretty in pink. We're talking about feminists and beauty queens. about American feminism and a new generation of American women. Is this generation of Americans defining feminism differently? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Asbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about feminists and beauty queens, about American feminism and a new generation of American women. My guests tonight, Nancy Redd. She joins us from Martinsville, Virginia tonight. She is Miss Virginia. On September 20th, she'll be in Atlantic City competing to be Miss America. She, only a few months ago, graduated from Harvard undergrad, majoring in women's studies. There you go. There's a combination for you to contemplate. Also with me in the studio tonight, Elizabeth Nesoff. She's a junior at Wellesley College. She just recently wrote an essay in the Christian Science Monitor saying, In Search of Feminists, thus entitled, saying she can't find in the welter of pink and traditionally feminine new high-profile women an image of the feminist that she set out to be. We're joined now by Amy Richards in Marblehead, Massachusetts. She's a writer and activist and co-founder of the Third Wave Foundation, a non-profit, activist, philanthropic national organization working with young women between the ages of 15 and 30. Good evening and welcome, Amy Richards.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Amy, if you'll let me just one moment, I want to put some questions to our callers and invite them in here. Can real feminists have hot careers, self-respect, and the tiara? Or has feminism lost its way here? Are women now so confident that they can be pretty in pink and fully realized humans? Or is there some kind of backsliding going on here? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Amy Richards, what do you hear in this debate? Is it a real debate? Is there a conflict between being up on the catwalk in the Catalina bathing suit or whatever they wear these days, gunning for the tiara? And feminism as it's been understood.
Well, I think going back to the 1968 protest, it's interesting because what they were protesting was all femininity as kind of symbolized through the Miss America pageant. And they were protesting it because women at that point didn't have a choice. It was feminine or bust.
Meaning if you weren't feminine, you would be ostracized, you'd be held down, you'd be disadvantaged.
Right. You would not be. And I think that there is a reality of that today. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I want to be able to say to somebody, you know, as Nancy said, who's 100 and whatever pounds, and say, it doesn't matter what you look like. It matters how you feel inside, but the fact is society makes it matter. And I want ultimately to be at a place where it doesn't have to matter, but right now I acknowledge that we are still at that place, that it matters.
So then what's a woman's responsibility or opportunity? And I should say a feminist. Is it then to, are you saying it's expeditious to lose those 50 pounds and look super in that swimsuit or what?
Well, I think feminists, I mean, first of all, there's no one kind of feminist perspective on this. As we're seeing in this show, there's multiple perspectives. And I think the most important thing is that each feminist be empowered to make choices for their own lives. It's not what choice we make, but the freedom to make it. And I think we simultaneously have to work individually to break boundaries, and we have to work collectively to break boundaries. And Nancy's enrollment in Miss America, I think, is great. I think it's wonderful. I think there is an interesting point that's not been discussed, which is that Nancy is African American, and I think that is a barrier that has not always been, you know, broken as much as we'd like to see it, which is not all women being able to be a part of something, but specifically women of color being able to be in arenas that have been reserved for white women and advancing that standard of beauty. And there's that. But I think at the same time, we have to stand on the margins and we have to make a point, you know, as Elizabeth is making. The thing, I really want to thank Elizabeth for her piece, because this debate between, you know, Elle Woods and Legally Blonde and the hardcore feminist wearing combat boots and shaving your head is usually something that plays out across generational lines. It's seen that younger feminists embody the kind of Elle Woods hyper-feminine feminist, and we're asking for that approval to be feminine. And it's this feminist from the 60s and the 70s that are saying, no, that's not feminist. And I like that Elizabeth wrote her piece because it shows that those debates exist among the generations, not just between them.
Mm. Nancy Redd, then when you stand up on the stage competing for Miss America, On the one hand, you may be saying, I'm accepting no boundaries and I insist on a choice to do what I want to do. but are you at the same time kind of reasserting those traditional elements of female beauty that, as Amy Richards said, at one time, if women didn't have them, they just weren't going anywhere?
It is at one time that's the key phrase there. I'm not reasserting them, I'm reclaiming them. There's nothing wrong with it. Why not? In a world, gosh, we've got so many desperate, we've got so much desperation in our youth, and even our adults, they're looking for role models. They're pouring energy into video games and TV and movies and violence and drugs and alcohol, and these are hobbies that mostly promote gender inequities and violence. And so why not have to a woman, why not accept Miss America to the highest degree as an educated, as a confident woman out there promoting the values of health and poise and intellect and talent and willing to share herself? Because, yes, I lost the weight, but when people see pictures of me, what I looked like before, and they compare it to now, they say, wow, if you can do it, I can do it too.
But it is a beauty pageant at bottom.
That's like a great, but it's not just beauty. It's not. What do you have? You can't.
Well, come on. I mean, we've all watched it for many years.
This is a funny thing. A lot of people, they have all these ideas of what Miss America is, but they've never watched it. They've never seen it.
Yeah, but a lot of people have, and they've seen an awful lot of fairly striking-looking women. I mean, you can't walk away from the beauty part of it. Yes, people play the piano, and they speak to their issue, whatever that may be, but does it not hold back up that kind of exclusive notion of beauty that leaves a whole lot of women out in the cold, that feminism was intended to ease that a bit?
No, feminism is intended to raise the consciousness and raise the abilities of all women and to raise the consciousness of men. It's not meant to leave anyone out in the cold. And what's so great about Miss America is, really, look at the contestants. I encourage everyone to go to missamerica.org and check out these women and look at what they're doing and look at their backgrounds and then come back to me and say, this is just a beauty pageant.
Amy Richards, can you see Miss America as a new kind of a vanguard of American feminism, American feminists?
The danger there is that then people will think you have to be beautiful to be a feminist. I mean, there's a danger in this. I think that Nancy has a great argument, and I support Nancy in her choice. I don't know that every other contestant, partly because I don't know them, is making the same choice freely. And I think an analogy, not equating Nancy with these individual women, but is sex workers. And the argument you always hear from sex workers is, it was the best choice I could make. It was the best choice I could make for me to make that kind of money. It was the best choice for me that I could make to support my children, support my family, whatever it was. And that might be a correct answer, but as Andrea Dworkin said, don't we wish that women had more choices? And if this is the only choice for women to get great scholarships, it's a pretty weak choice.
But, of course, it's not the only choice for women to get scholarships. So what does it mean when you know, elite education graduates like Nancy are turning to that choice and endorsing it?
I'm apologetic. Excuse me. It seems to me like this is being presented as though this is my only choice. There's so many things that I could have done with this year. I just graduated from college, and there were a lot of options that I could have pursued, but I looked at what could do the most for me and what I could do the most for my community through. And so regardless of what people might say about the Miss America system, it's not like other competitions because of the substance involved, I get a chance to promote 4-H, which is a program that I've been working with since I was 9 years old and that a lot of people don't listen to. A lot of people think of it as an agricultural-based program. But there's so many positive things, and because of that, I get to talk about it. And because of Miss America, I get to be on here promoting my version of feminism, a version of feminism that a lot of women come up to me and thank me for. And that's what's so glorious about it, because this isn't the only option. This wasn't my only option to compete, but it is an option that we can't deny ourselves.
Nancy, it sounds like you're ready for prime time there. I want to turn to our callers. Judy's calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Judy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is just that I was brought up as a feminist, and my understanding of feminism was not that you could or could not be pretty or could or could not be feminine, but that feminism was a striving towards the equality between men and women. And if we're saying it's okay now for feminists to be in beauty pageants, where is the equivalent for men?
I think the equivalent is recognizing the positive that Miss America has to offer. I am not promoting other competitions. I'm promoting Miss America.
But Nancy, our caller Judy is saying, where's the Young Bachelor America contest?
I'm highly in favor of. I think there should be a Mr. America.
Well, the equivalent for men isn't beauty. I mean, the equivalent for men is the I mean, is the hyper-masculine. If we're saying that the hyper-feminine, it's the hyper-masculine.
So you're saying it's already there in weightlifting contests,
right,
or something?
Right, exactly. I mean, we already have Mr. Universe, and we now even have, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor. So we really have the personal being political out there in California.
Judy, does the Mr. Universe competition satisfy you that there's equality here?
No, I don't think so, because that's a standard. I certainly don't consider Arnold Schwarzenegger attractive. That's a standard of strength and not a standard of, you know, good looks. I think the standard of Miss America good looks is very different than a standard of bodybuilding. And there really is no equivalent among men in this country.
And Judy, let me ask you, if I may, do you see sexuality and beauty or prettiness, whatever you want to call it, as ultimately an empowered part of feminism? I mean, is there a point at which, you know, I don't know, Birkenstocks and all the old stereotypes are things of the past, and feminists can be gloriously beautiful and fully feminist? Or is there a problem that's built into beauty given the history of women?
I'm not quite sure how to respond to your question. The problem, I completely agree that feminists can be feminine, mm-hmm. but my concern is that women are still judged by a different standard than men are judged by. And I think it's all well and good that Nancy wants to promote 4-H, but she's promoting it by displaying her breasts, right? She's promoting it by displaying her body, saying, you know, the only way I can get people to pay attention to me, the only way I can get people to pay attention to the things that I believe in is to, you know, strip down. And I find that very disturbing that's where people think feminism is supposed to take us.
Judy, thanks for your call. Nancy Redd.
Hello. It's not the only thing. It's the choice that I've made. Like I said, it's not... There's so much gender violence, there's so many discrepancies, there's so much inequality, but it's not Miss America, it's not the color pink, and it's not our femininity that's causing it. And I think a lot of the problem that we're having today in trying to define feminism, trying to gain a foothold, is shying away from the elements of femininity. I'm proud of the fact that I can claim myself and I can carry myself and that I want to be beautiful. And that's what a lot of women feel. But a lot of women, what happens is they get caught up in hearing that that's a bad thing. And then they get caught up in wanting to not feel that way, but not knowing how to still be successful and how to still achieve with all of these different things attacking them and not knowing where to go.
Elizabeth, let me turn to Elizabeth Nesoff in the studio with me. You're our 19-year-old observer here who raised the initial objection. Are you hearing a new logic in what's going on?
Well, I don't think anybody's. I know I'm not blaming Miss America or the color pink for what I see as a very large discrepancy in feminism. That definitely not. What I think Judy has raised a very important point in that. What I noticed was in the same way that Ms. Red is going out and trying to raise awareness about 4-H and, you know, support herself, scholarship money, etc., she's still walking around being judged by men. And who are the judges? She's walking around in various costumes, yes, performing talents, yes, being judged by speech, but for the most part, wearing certain things, a certain smile, a certain hairstyle, large earrings, etc., that make up the beauty pageant so that she can compete and be judged by, in essence, men. There is not a pageant that is Mr. America. There is not men walking around in Speedos being judged.
I mean, you know there are women judges, too, of course.
Of course.
Does that make a difference or not?
It does make a difference, but in the same way, you're still being judged based on how you look. I mean, you couldn't, if it happened in the corporate world, if me and three other women went out for a job, we were all lined up and it was how short your skirt is, how do you look, bend over or something, no one would be able to stand for that. It would be blatant discrimination. I'm not saying that Miss America is sexual harassment in any way, shape, or form. I would never be so radical. But I think that it just points out a very large discrepancy in what I see as the problem.
I want to welcome one more guest into our conversation. From Los Angeles, Catherine Speller joins us. She's Executive Vice President of the Feminist Majority Foundation. Good evening and welcome, Catherine Speller.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Catherine, I guess what this is all circling around here is this place, well, there's a lot of things, but at the heart, maybe this place of femininity, sexuality, beauty, looks in the whole universe of feminist thought. Do you see its place changing? Are young women saying, hey, I can be a feminist and fully attuned to my nails and my lashes and my hair and my weight, and no contradiction there?
I don't see that it's changed at all, and I guess would take issue with a lot of the stuff that has been said so far. You know, femininity and beauty has always been a major debate within the feminist movement, and feminism has never said that beauty is a bad thing. What we have said is that, you know, beauty is defined by society, that every woman must meet some standard that has been set, and those standards have been designed by and defined by men, is wrong. I mean, each individual should be judged on their intelligence and what they contribute to society. Looks is only one part of that, but certainly for women, it has been a major component of how society has judged us all along. In the Miss America pageant, for whatever we want to say, how much it has changed, and it has changed, is still about beauty. It's still about looks, ultimately. Although it's interesting because at the Miss America pageant has absolutely changed in response to feminist gains in our society. They now have to say it's really about the scholarships, it's really about how well you answer the questions, but they can never get rid of the bathing suit contest.
Isn't it still at bottom the kind of the gold standard of that one standard view of beauty that you're just saying feminism was launched in opposition to?
Absolutely. To redefine beauty and to redefine the standards and also to critique the standards as they're impacting on women. You know, there's a huge industry behind beauty in this country. It's not only makeup and cosmetics, it's the diet industry, it's the clothing industry. I mean, these are multi-billion dollar industries that is driving this. And what we've always said is look at the impact it has on women. One is it means that we're viewed as very unidimensional, but two, it's actually unhealthy. Eating disorders are rampant on college campuses and among women in this country, and it's just not healthy. So we've said take a different look at it. But I also don't think that the fact that a feminist and a women's studies major is competing in Miss America, or that Elizabeth Heer's feminist saying on her campus is indicative of any new turmoil in this area. I mean, I don't think that Nancy is saying that she's at the vanguard of the feminist movement or isn't. And so I don't think we should read more into it than that.
Well, I wonder, Nancy, I've read you saying that you're holding the torch for third wave feminism. What is that, Nancy Redd?
I'm holding the torch for individual decisions. What third wave feminism is to me, it's ability to choose what you want to do. It's ability to not accept everything as a zero-sum game, to be able to be confident in your looks, to be able to take care of your personal appearance and feel confident that while still remaining an intellectual person, while not being afraid to match the two together. And my response to this is a lot of people are saying, well, it's to be judged by men, it's to be judged by men. But life, everyone, men and women, you're always judged. And Amy mentioned that earlier. And if, indeed, Miss America could choose to get rid of the bathing suit competition, but they choose not to. And I'm glad, because that part of the competition actually helped me to overcome a milestone that had been a problem for me for a long time.
Nancy Redd, hold the thought. We've got to take a short break. We're joined by Catherine Spiller, Amy Richards, Elizabeth Nisshoff, and Miss Virginia, perhaps soon to be Miss America. We'll see. Nancy Redd, you can join the conversation tonight. Is Nancy Redd, would-be Miss America, the new face and nails of feminism? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Support for this program comes...
We're talking tonight about feminists and beauty queens, about American feminism and a new generation of American women. Is a new generation of Americans defining feminism differently? And is feminism now big enough to be both bold and Barbie? Can it be that big? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guest tonight, Nancy Redd, Miss Virginia, who will soon compete in the Miss America contest in Atlantic City, a 2003 graduate of Harvard, majored in women's studies. From Marblehead, Massachusetts, Amy Richards, co-founder of the Third Wave Foundation. From Los Angeles, Catherine Spiller, executive vice president of the Feminist Majority Foundation. And with me in the studio tonight, Elizabeth Nisshoff, whose essay kicked off our whole conversation. She's a junior at Wellesley College, recently wrote an essay in the Christian Science Monitor entitled In Search of Feminists, and she wasn't finding it in kind of pretty in pink beauty contest. Others may be. Amy Richards, let me turn to you. What is third wave feminism to you? How do you define it?
Well, third wave is an extension of feminism throughout time in this country, so it has the same beliefs in full social, political, and economic equality of all people. Third wave feminism, as I've interpreted it, is trying to give visibility to young women's participation in feminism, young women having felt silenced or not fully included in feminism, both as individuals who are trying to be spokespeople and be taken seriously on these issues, but also individual concerns. And a lot of that third wave feminism has been about melding culture and politics and saying that Buffy the Vampire Slayer can be a feminist, and that tours like Lilith Fair and other kind of singer-songwriters like Ani DiFranco can be taken seriously as both musicians and in that world and as feminists. So it's that kind of melding of culture and politics.
So do third-wave feminists look back on earlier feminists and say, gosh, they were brave and courageous, but they were kind of puritanical about their sexuality, about issues of looks and sex?
Well, I think feminists today have inherited two myths. I mean, Nancy has talked about Miss America pageant being much more than about beauty and looks. And our generation grew up kind of seeing Miss America as the epitome of what feminists should be opposed to. We also grew up thinking that the only way to be a feminist was to be man-hating, was to be a lesbian, was to be wearing combat boots, which was also a myth. And I think that what our generation is struggling with is how to kind of pick and choose from this and how to expand the debate beyond these stereotypes. And Nancy is doing a good job of articulating that Miss America pageant is about more than that. And I think Nancy's own example is, you know, we're sitting here talking about Nancy who lost 50 pounds and Nancy who's going to be in the swimsuit competition. But Nancy also wrote a book on Girls' Guide to the SATs because she recognizes that girls have been shortchanged in this battle for the SAT. And I just use that as an example to say that there's always more beneath the surface.
So look at the whole woman there, not just the one in the swimsuit.
Right, exactly. And I think that that's kind of what third wave feminists are saying, is they don't want to have to reject their personal life, but they also want to be able to bring to be taken seriously in their political life. And it's not one or the other.
Let's turn to our call. Catherine Spiller there. I hear you. Yes.
No, actually, but I will jump in here
this
opportunity. I just, the one thing I want to caution is I don't think that anyone should think that Elle Woods and Legally Blonde was a feminist statement. I mean, that was a fantasy of men in Hollywood. I mean, take a look at still who is in Hollywood running the show, whether it's directors or producers or writers or the big money backers, and it's overwhelmingly men. It's overwhelmingly white men, older white men. They weren't even they never crossed their minds that that's what they were doing with Elle Woods. And we just shouldn't get, you know, the marketing ploys of the makeup industry or the clothing industry or even the Miss America pageant mixed up with what feminism is. And the last thing I would say is that feminism on the college campus is among Elizabeth's peers could not be stronger. We've seen such a huge resurgence, especially in the last few years under this administration. Young women fighting for their reproductive rights, realizing that they still don't are not guaranteed equal pay for equal work, recognizing that they are feminists. Over 60% of young women self-identify as feminists, actually two-thirds. So it's remarkable that even in a society that has stereotyped feminists as either boot-wearing, you know, hairy-legged or contrasted them with typically beautiful women. And all of these debates and all of this denigration of what feminism is, that so many young women identify as feminists and want to join this fight.
So if younger feminists, Catherine Spiller, don't see a contradiction here, how do you look at that? That is between feminism and some emphasis on beauty, even beauty pageants. Is that a form of further liberation or is that a trap?
Well, actually, I do think that a lot of young feminists see the contradiction. As I said, eating disorders is the number one problem on college campuses, along with sexual violence that young women are facing. And there's a huge movement on the college campuses to deal with bulimia and anorexia. A lot of it stemming, people believe, from this constant bombardment in the popular media on what you should look like, how much you should weigh, what you should wear. I would say there's a lot of consciousness on college campuses about the impact of this stereotype of beauty that we've all been expected to somehow live up to. So I guess I'd have to disagree with the whole premise that this debate is somehow new, or that this wave of feminists have somehow accommodated these more stereotypical definitions of beauty.
But the sense in the air, and Elizabeth Nesoff, our guest, raised it, is that younger women are feeling more free to pursue that stereotypical beauty. Doesn't that inevitably come back around and bite somehow?
Well, I don't dispute that she has had those conversations. I just don't see it nationwide. I don't see it among this 18 to 24-year-old age group. We see in all the public opinion polling the same kinds of concerns, frankly, that their mothers had about whether they're going to be able to get that job, whether they'll be discriminated against, whether they will be able to get equal pay, how they're going to balance out their personal lives with their professional lives.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of debates that I think are raging on college campuses, and maybe, whether you can get a boyfriend or not. And that's not the only standard that should be judged by. I mean, maybe that is a debate that they're having at Wellesley. But I do think that these more serious issues also are, very prominent on the college campuses. And I don't think that the view on accommodating so-called more stereotype beauty is where we're headed.
Jack's calling from Kingston, Massachusetts. Hi, Jack. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I'm the first male adjutant of the evening.
Okay.
I would like to say I'm a 40-something male.
Yeah.
And, have grown up with the feminist movement, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's been something, that I have seen. Miss Spiller?
Yes, Catherine Spiller.
Yeah. I think some of these younger 20-somethings and college women who are trying to associate feminism or the feminist movement with some of their their goals in life is kind of a new. They're just trying to put a new spin on their need to fit into their niche, which is being personified by corporate America. It's another way that corporate America is spinning it now.
You mean the emphasis on looks and appearance? Is that what you're saying, Jack?
I think that the most of the media that's personifying what a woman should be these days is still at the same old game that they've been at for 20 years. They're trying to redefine feminism, so they're using kind of the new mold of what a young feminist woman should be, and attempting to put a new spin on it. It's the same old story. If you look at would like to take offense to some of the issues that women have been raising about men judging the women. It's men. It's not men. It's women that are in the middle management and corporate roles of today, realizing that they're actually pushing the new feminist roles in order to get image on what the quote-unquote new feminism is supposed to be about.
Jack, we got it, and thanks for your call. Amy Richards, it sounds like our caller is saying, as Catherine said, that there's a big industry in cosmetics and everything else, and the women are still being herded into the mold that will make money for that industry. Do you feel that?
I think, women are being herded, but women are also seeking it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to the editors of Glamour magazine, who are always ridiculed for putting sex sells on the cover, they say we sell sex because sex sells. And I think, Elizabeth is on a college campus, Nancy just graduated from a college campus, Kathy Spiller and the Feminist Majority have campus chapters all over this country. I spend my time every academic year on about 150 different college campuses, and I actually see something different than Kathy does. The number one question I get when I'm on a college campus is a young women's studies major who stands up and says, I volunteer at Planned Parenthood, I take women's studies, I take this very seriously, I want to fight my university who doesn't have a sexual assault policy, but I want to know, can I wear a thong and be a feminist? And what they're saying is, can I be myself and be a feminist? And I think saying the thong kind of makes it into a funny or a superficial question,
right.
But I think what underlies that is very serious, is can I have these desires, whether it is to have a boyfriend, whether it is to care about Valentine's Day, whether it is to wear a thong and have a bikini wax, lipstick, whatever it is, and whoever is pushing those choices on them, I don't know. But the reality is that young women, many young women, not all young women on college campuses, many young women do feel that conflict.
And when they ask that question, what answer are they hearing back from their peers today?
Well, I think, I mean, they're hearing numerous answers. They're hearing, oh, just don't think about it. And then I think the young woman comes back to the next lecture on campus or to the next person who wants to hear her and says the same question. But I think that, I mean, there is no one answer. The answer I give is that, yes, you can wear a thong. Yes, you can wear lipstick. I think talking about those things is not necessarily feminist. Do them. Offer yourself up as an example of a feminist. But what makes you a feminist is not that you're wearing a thong, but that you are doing the work at Planned Parenthood and that you are lobbying your college to have a sexual assault policy. Mm.
Elizabeth Nesoff, you raised it, so let's put that question to you. Can a young feminist wear a thong and be a feminist, or is that what's bothering you?
I'm not a big fan of thong and underwear personally, but I can only really speak for myself because I only really know myself intimately. So I would say, you know, looking at myself, I'm a women's studies major, and I chose to go to a women's college, but I'm currently wearing mascara. I do date. I consider myself to be a fairly attractive woman, and I'm just myself, and that's who I am, and I don't feel the need to be anything more. I don't feel the need to aspire to be Elle Woods, and I don't feel the need to aspire to be Gloria Steinem either.
But clearly in writing this, you felt some pressure from some of your peers.
I wouldn't say pressure. I would say confusion. I would say that I was sitting next to my peers, and my peers, a friend of mine who has declared herself a third-wave feminist, who was saying, you know, I'm a third-wave feminist because I think that, you know, the second wave has really fixed everything. We're great, we're good, and everything's fine, and, you know, the fight's really
so
over.
So now it's
and
freedom of choice. I'll be what I want to be.
This is what she said to me. And then this is the same girl who has who's whined to me so many times that, you know, this is not the majority of Wellesley. Wellesley's great. But there's plenty of, she's whined to me many times, oh, I don't have a boyfriend. And it seems to me that there is a contradiction, and I'm confused because I'm just myself. This is just who I am, and I have desires. I want affection. I'm a straight woman, so I want affection from men. But I also want camaraderie with women. I want so many things, and I'm just going to go get them. And the fact that I'm looking around and I'm seeing you're not a feminist if you have pink or something, I'm just confused. And that's what I was talking about.
Catherine Spiller, our time grows short, but it sounds like women feel the freedom to spread out here in their views of what they want to be, what they ought to be, if that's the right word. Does that spread confusion or freedom?
I think more freedom than confusion. I don't see it as confusion. I think that young people have always wondered how they're going to live their personal lives, whether it's straight or gay, or do they have a permanent relationship or no, and how are they going to, do they want children, and how are they going to fit all this in? I think that that is perfectly normal of every college age generation and young people. And actually, feminism has given people many more options, especially women, to pursue different avenues in life, whether with a man or with a woman or with nobody. It gives new freedoms, and maybe that's what we're all struggling with still is how we reach equality in our personal relationships and our social lives, as well as in the political and economic arenas. And
I want to get one more word from Nancy Redd. Our time's awfully short. Nancy, are you going to be standing up on the catwalk in Atlantic City for feminism?
And I'm hearing what everyone's saying. We're saying the same thing. My thesis was on the generational gap of self-help to women throughout the three waves of feminism. And it was about the disconnect between them because of our many options that we have now, one of which is competing for Miss America. And
well,
what Amy brought out, that many women are seeking out anything to pluck their heartstrings, is because that's why I'm doing it. Because women need role models they can connect to, that can inspire them, that can get them revved up.
Well, you'll be up there and we'll be watching. Nancy Redd, good luck September 20th at the Miss America pageant. Elizabeth Nesoff, thanks so much for being with us. Amy Richards and Catherine Spillar, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Support for this program comes from